Welcome once again, everyone, to what we hope will be a bit of a lighter episode of The Agent's Angle in the run-up to the festive period for many. With me, Jonathan Booker.
And me, Peter Palaiologos. With the opening of many of the transfer windows around the globe just a few weeks away, there is a look at what some are predicting January may bring, as well as the influence of agents in these reports and rumours.
We will also be taking a look at awards and acknowledgement for players, coaches and even agents as the year approaches its end. But where some sports agents are inducted into a Hall of Fame, maybe football agents shouldn't be expecting a star on FIFA's Boulevard just yet.
All that to come and more on this episode of The Agent's Angle.
So, Peter, are you ready? Ready for silly season to commence, as the shorter of the transfer windows is to open in many parts of the world in the next couple of weeks. But before we start on that, we have just one important piece of news that has broken this morning from Germany that will have an impact on the forthcoming window.
Yes, there's been a release. I've only seen it from the Football Forum. The Football Forum is the group of agents led by a few super agents, including Jonathan Barnett. They've mentioned in a post that the higher regional court of Düsseldorf in Germany has rejected FIFA's immediate appeal against the administrative measures imposed on all points. Now, that's all that's been released here. Basically, I assume that this relates to the court matters in Germany. The courts in Germany injuncted the application of the FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent Regulations. FIFA must have appealed to remove that injunction. However, the regional court, which is a higher court, has decided not to remove that injunction. That's the way I read it. We'll obviously get more information in due course. But Jonathan, that's very interesting news on the eve of the transfer window, especially for Germany.
Yeah, let's move away from that. FFAR's got enough exposure over the past weeks and months. And we'll look at the lighter subject of the transfer window. It prompts a lot of interest. Now, we have stories all year round about transfers, players being happy and what various transfer targets clubs have, both via the media and also those more, shall we say, secretive channels within the industry itself. Yes, it does seem to ramp up at this time of year with the shorter window and clubs, dare I say, being a bit more desperate in this window for one reason or another. If not only just to look active to appease fans. And if you remember from Matt Slater from The Athletic commenting on episode 15, for some it's now a matter of being seen to win the transfer window, never mind titles and trophies. And if we were to comment on every article where an agent is referenced or quoted in regards to a player being a transfer target of some form or another, we would be here for a very, very long time, possibly until a transfer window in 2027. But there was one article that you've been wanting to reference for a couple of weeks, Peter.
Yes, there is. But before I get onto that article, I just want to apologise to listeners. I've got a bit of a rougher voice through a cold, but I'll get on with it. Just in terms of the transfer window, yes, it's a season for clubs, agents. It's the optics and impressions that are just as important in this window. It's a time, I would say, that players are asking for transfers to get new opportunities, maybe playing time. Clubs need to fill gaps or find solutions due to their status up and down the table. However, this window, budgets tend to be tighter in these mid-season or winter windows, and there's less scope for moves. And agents tend to work on more strategic deals or less deals during this window. But the article, and this is quite a lighter article, as you said, Jonathan, it's coming from Ghana Soccer Net. And it's the headline that grabbed me. Top football agents invade Mediama camp in Cairo over a red hot striker. And I'll just read one paragraph to set the tone. A number of top football agents have invaded the base in Cairo in an attempt to strike a deal for top rated striker Jonathan Sowah. Sowah has come from the Ghanaian champions. He's a subject of intense interest, bidding from a lot of African league clubs. And basically, a number of agents went to the Radisson Blue Hotel in Cairo and holding talks with officials over a club deal. Now, I've seen agents waiting for us of team hotels, outside and inside training facilities, lurking around coffee shops or cafes where players frequent, but invading a training base? I just have to smile and leave it there.
Well, it takes me back to the story of there being a ban on agents at the England base at St. George's Park. And that was imposed that any agents, even those who represented the players. But with regards to this story, Peter, as you know, I was reluctant to give it any form of mention, but it's important to highlight this sort of article. Wherever it is in the world, whether it be Ghana, England, the US, and that also counts if it's from a global broadcaster, a large newspaper, or a small fan website. Now, maybe it's just me being a cynic that I look for hints as to how genuine the story or the rumour is, as some of these stories are planted by clubs as much as agents, or those who are associated or connected to a player. You speak about the entourages quite often. If only to destabilise a situation or get a player a new offer and a new contract. So when an agent is referenced in these sorts of articles, I don't know about you, but I typically look for a few things. The first one, is the agent actually named? Are they licensed and or credible? Is the agent quoted or is their message reworded as part of the story? Is the agent connected to the player or clubs referenced in the story? And this is one thing that really grates with me. Typically, there are some random agents out there happy to shout it, but are really no more qualified to quote on that story and that player or that club than the journalist who's actually writing the story. They're not connected in any way, shape or form. In fact, when looking at articles for the podcast, there are some names we look out for from the agent's world and if they are mentioned in the article. And if they are, we typically bin the story. Also, the most important element is to really look at the story and look beyond the article itself in trying to identify any motivations an agent or someone else might have in commenting. We get why agents do it, whether legitimate or illegitimate reasons, and the journalists do it as part of their job. They've got to sell stories at the end of the day. Also, we get the fact of why often an agent cannot be named, and Matt spoke about that as well. He likes to have an agent quoted in the stories that he does, but quite often in the stories that his colleague David Ornstein does regarding transfers, they don't typically get the quotes. The other reason is that although it's rarely enforced, some agent regulations forbid an agent using media channels to assist with such things as facilitating a transfer or even encouraging a breach of contract, such as that between a player and their club.
Firstly, Jonathan, you mentioned entourages. Yes, I see them at the elite level of the player scene. They're very prominent and I'm always on about them, how they affect players, clubs and just the general environment. But getting on to the point, a lot of articles have to be approached with a careful lens. Who are the sources? Who is named? No agents named in this Ghana article. What are the motivations? Traditional social media is a tool used by many agents, I would say, to amplify a message as to their player movements, aspirations, and also their performances to interested clubs. It also provides interest for fans and media and feeds the transfer rumor mill. And this episode is really about transfers. And I want to now go on to another article. This has probably got more credibility and substance. This article relates to a player, Rafael Leal of Milan, Milan's highest paid player, big expectations of this player. And in this article, what interests me is, and we've discussed this before, Jonathan, lawyer's role or football lawyer's role and the agent's role. And we know at the higher level, there's an intermingle and even some lawyers stepping over into the agent mark. In this article, it mentions Ted Dimvula, a French lawyer and close friend of Leao's father, Antonio, has signed a contract to represent the Milan star, Leao, valid until February 2024. But Jorge Mendes, the super agent, if I can call him that, remains in the frame and is pushing to take over again from next year. And this article, according to Gazzetta, one of the main media outlets for football in Italy, is basically a situation that's affecting Leao on the pitch. So the football lawyer, the agent's interest is affecting the player. So I've never heard that much about agent's position and their interest in a player or interference in a player's arrangements affecting a player, but that seems to be becoming more prominent. It's an interesting trend, especially at the top level, as players are always approached by agents. And I know you said to me, Jonathan, FFAR, stay out of it, but there's one rule in there or one regulation, the two-year length of contract, which is not a long time. And within the last 2 months of those 2 years, other agents can contact the player for interest. This can cause these type of scenarios where other agents try to get the player off the current agent and may affect the player because they're toying and throwing on what to do.
I think we're going to have to reintroduce that fine tin for FFAR every time. And there we go, I've mentioned it again. But let's get off the subject. Now, with this article, the first thing to note is that I can't see any actual quotes from an agent here. But the interrelation between agents, lawyers, family members, the player and the club are all highlighted in what is really comparatively a short article. The few times I've read it, you can get different interpretations on the article. Reading between the lines, it may well be that there are ulterior motives here, whether positive or negative, whether it be unsettling the player with club or agent, supporting the player through a difficult time and taking some of the pressure off them. As it mentions, he's not in the best of form, or explaining the situation to that wider audience, the fans, to protect the player. As I said, when quotes or a lot of details regarding agents appear in the media, I'm immediately on guard and looking for the hidden meaning or agenda. And you mentioned Jorge Mendes, and quite often when an agent is mentioned in the article, they have little knowledge of the article, never mind their mention. So that might well be the case here. But who knows who's put this story out, what the motivation is behind the story. And if you read the story, it can be interpreted any number of ways.
Yes, I would say some journalists do their research. They try to find who the agents are or ask the club or the feeling about the player. But there's also a lot of speculation and innuendo of what's going on with players, agents and deals. But agents themselves, they don't just talk about their deals, but they also talk about other agents' deals. So that could be another agent feeding the journalist. We've seen that as well. And also, the journalist might have spoken to the club. Someone inside the club fed the narrative about what's going on in this situation, about the player's representation, especially in terms of performance or in terms of, as we know, when an upcoming transfer window arrives and there might be some movement. So it can happen in a lot of ways. And as you say, the football lawyer in this case or Jorge Mendes may not even be aware of any of this.
Plenty of players are rumoured and linked to transfers, even when it is total and utter nonsense. But in England, one player who's been linked with a transfer for several transfer windows going back now is Ivan Toney. Now, some people outside of England who are not Premier League aficionados may not know too much about Ivan Toney, as he doesn't play for a Big Six club and hasn't got too many England caps, which is wrong in my opinion. But he is a player I have followed for a long time since he played for Northampton as a 16 or 17 year old and nearly signed for my club a few years later, only to have the transfer cancelled at the last minute under rather strange circumstances. I think one of the reasons that we chose not to cover this topic in earlier episodes of The Agent's Angle is that the player has been going through a difficult time. He has been serving a ban for breaches of betting regulations in England, and that ban was imposed for 8 months by the FA. And he will only be eligible to play again in January, which is conveniently in the middle of the transfer window. Hence, that is a reasonable reason many believe he didn't leave Brentford in 2023 with the investigation and suspension underway. However, despite many saying his transfer is almost certain now, although the various sources can't agree on which club, I think there's another reason that's more prevalent in why his move might be more likely now than ever before. And that is because reports state that he changed agents or agencies in the summer. Interesting time to do it with all that was going on around him. And if reports are to be believed, it's reported that Ivan Toney has now changed agents to CAA Stella. And I think it's safe to say that given the player's profile, he will be looked after by either Jonathan Barnett, David Manasseh or Joshua Barnett. And they will no doubt ensure that he gets a good deal going forward, whether it be at his current club or a move elsewhere. And a change of dynamic with a player's career is likely triggered when they change agent or agency in terms of existing contract, representation agreements or the clubs that have been connected with them. Plus, I get the feeling most people, whether a footballer or not, would be looking for a clean slate moving forward in their career with his circumstances that have gone on over the last 12 months, whether it be location, agent or club. The story is covered by Cameron Smith on footballtransfers.com. But I also want to point out to people, and this is interesting to agents, prospective players, families of players and players themselves. There's also a video with businessman Stephen Bartlett on YouTube where he interviews Ivan Tony. And it's a very candid interview and a very interesting interview. And I think it's on Stephen Bartlett's podcast as well. And I think it's well worth people tuning into because different people will get different things from the story.
I had a look at that YouTube interview. I found it fascinating. And if you look at the messaging and the body language of Ivan Tony and you try to read between the lines, he doesn't give much away, name-wise, etc. But he highlights an important point. He mentions goal scorers in the EPL, the English Premier League, are hard to find at the top of the tree. Ivan Tony is at the top of the tree. He's at Brentford, but his potential, as you mentioned, should be playing more for England, is very high. He also mentioned he wants to play like all elite players aspire to at big clubs at the highest level possible. As we know, Tony is banned from all football activities till 2024 due to betting breaches. However, the move to Barnett's agency comes as a clear indication of the desire for, I would say, looking at that YouTube, that Tony wants to move to a bigger club in this window. So watch this space.
Yeah, there's so many interesting points and lessons to be learned from that interview for such a wide variety of people. But I also think the interview with Stephen Bartlett, there could well be a really fascinating autobiography from Ivan Tony when he does decide to retire from football. And it won't be one of those football autobiographies you find in the discount bin at the bookshop. Another person who could well have a fascinating autobiography is the agent Rafaela Pimenta, not just from her time working with the late Mino Raiola, but also her own experiences in the football world representing what are some of the most high-profile and high-value players. However, we've spoken about the various rumours that circulate at this time of year, some of which may well be planted by agents. But although seemingly being interviewed very recently, and I picked up it might have been at the recent IAFA agents meeting in Italy, Miss Pimenta was questioned about various player clients. And I must say, she's remained notably coy on such matters. She hasn't seemingly courted controversy on this when the opportunity may well be there for some agents.
Pimenta, I would say, is a very interesting agent and lawyer. Firstly, she got the trust of Mino Raiola to undertake a lot of his football legal work and then she transitioned to agency. She actually is a professor in law from Brazil. As a lawyer, she knows how tough the world of business is, and especially where, God rest his soul, Raiola, in the business he was in, everything is very tough. However, her mentor would know that in this business, it all ends with what's written and signed on the paper, on the contract, especially considering the money that these deals that Pimenta and Raiola were involved in were pretty much huge. I will say this, Pimenta's had 18 years working with Raiola, and that's a very long time. Now, there are about three articles covering that Pimenta was asked about certain players. One was related to Erling Haaland, one to Marcos Leonardo, and the other one on a few other players like Donnarumma, Mkhitaryan, and Thuram. But I'll go straight to it. Pimenta was asked, as Erling Haaland's agent, working with Erling Haaland's father, by a journalist, will he go to Madrid? And she replied, will he go to Madrid? You should ask them that. So she basically said to the journalist, you ask Real Madrid what the answer may be. In terms of Marcos Leonardo, great talent Brazil coming through, is Marcos Leonardo to leave Santos? Her view was, the right time is to move in January. I don't know if he'll come to Roma. You can ask Thiago Pinto, again, referring back to the club. And speaking at this Italian Association of Football Agents, where a lot of these questions were asked, she also mentioned about the upcoming January window and very eloquently said, January is always a smaller market. Players cannot be moved. There is talk of replacement of players who are not doing well, but few deals can be carried out. And I think that emphasis and that observation is on point about that. And we'll cover one more player, Gianluca Donnarumma, the Italian goalkeeper. She was asked about criticism levied against Donnarumma. And she pretty much said, sometimes criticism is good. It's part of life, and a player has to deal with it like he does. Sometimes there are compliments. Other times, criticism comes. So very much her answers covered the ground of how to deal with journalists and how to deal with transfer speculation, her approach being reversing it back onto the journalists or other interested parties.
Now, in my experience, Rafaela Pimenta is often quite outspoken. She's a tough talker and often vociferous. particularly on FIFA agent regulations over the past year or so, not least as she is a leading figure with TFF, the Football Forum. And although for me, this isn't necessarily the right approach, it seemingly works for her. And arguably, she has earned the right to be outspoken. However, in her being quite coy in talking about potential moves for various stars in these interviews and when asked the questions, it makes me think whether there may well be something happening in January that would be high profile involving one or more of her clients. But I'm not going to feed the rumour mill. There is enough of that going on. Yet I think it's a welcome approach from a leading agent for her also not choosing to openly feed the rumours.
Yes, I agree. I like her approach, especially when you're at that level and you've got players that everyone's interested in, especially football journalists, especially clubs, especially fans. Pimenta's approach is very definitive. And I like that. When you have a deal over the line, you'll mention it. Otherwise, to deal with this type of speculation or question, a smooth, non-committal type approach where do your research, guys, saying that to the journalists, which Pimenta uses, is very effective, especially at that high level, to deflect any interference in deals and deal with any speculation.
And with those signings over this transfer window and the future transfer window, some of them are big, some of them are small, but how do we actually value how good a signing they are?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Jonathan. And there was actually an article in The Athletic. It's called Premier League Agent Survey. Best signings, worst deals, and what's going to happen in January, which is the upcoming transfer window. Now, I've never seen a survey article on agents. And this one really was quite interesting because what The Athletic has done, they've gone in for a deep dive and asked a cross-section of agents who were involved in some of the deals in the last window to try to make sense of the summer transfer window and the upcoming, I would say, winter window or mid-season window. Now, this survey had no names of agents, but did set out certain questions that agents were asked. And I found some of the questions quite vague and probably, I would say, wouldn't add value to any type of survey. However, I can understand a little bit why maybe the agents' names were not given because, as the article says, the agent identities were protected to encourage them to reply candidly without damaging working relationships. But obviously, some of the questions, and I'll go very quickly through a couple, which was the best deal of the window? Most agreed James Maddison. What was the worst deal of the window? We're going to have the article in our show notes. People can have a look at that. I'm not going to answer that question. Which was the most surprising deal of the window? Which Premier League club had the best window? Now, I will mention here, Brighton was mentioned as having the best window in terms of the Premier League clubs. And the interesting question, which relates to obviously our episode as well, which deal do you expect to happen in January? The agents raised the names of Sancho, Harry Maguire, Calvin Phillips all tick the box about moving in January. Interesting to run a survey like this. I do like agent surveys. I think they're valuable because agents have the pulse of the industry, of the players, the clubs, the dynamics, the budgets, all that. But there was another little article, I wouldn't say an article, a video featured on ESPN, Craig Burley, and he gave a view of this survey and he wasn't happy. He didn't think that a football agent survey can give that kind of feedback. So that was another interesting observation. I don't agree with Craig Burley on this. I think the agents have got insights because agents are a lot of times the scouts as well.
The only real thing that surprised me about this article in this survey was the actual media outlet. I think it must have been a slow news day at The Athletic. Sorry to the guys at The Athletic. Yes, many agents are very knowledgeable on football players and transfers, but then again, so are scouts, coaches, managers, club execs, and indeed fans, who are arguably just as knowledgeable when it comes to transfers. And that can be quite subjective as well, because they have different values. They all have different perspectives and measures on what makes a good or bad signing. The first disappointing thing here is the reported sample pool used by The Athletic. And also, it isn't clear how the agents were asked to quantify their ratings. Were they measuring on the best deal for the club or the best deal for the agents and the player, either wages or transfer fees? Were they rating on commercial factors or just the playing factors? Also, if the agents participating in the survey inquired by The Athletic represent a specific player, or an agency colleague of theirs represents a specific player, their judgment is understandably skewed whether they have anonymity or not. Also, a big thing to consider in terms of the sample pool is how many agents surveyed work for the same agency or are linked in some way or another. So, sorry, Athletic, this isn't your normal standard, but they did highlight very openly in the article the fact that just 20 football agents were surveyed, just 11 questions were asked, and on occasions, some agents offered more than one answer per question, or some chose not to answer a question, thus skewing the results. So the Athletic didn't try and dress this up as some major survey or set of statistics, as some in football no doubt would, if only to suit the desired narrative. No names mentioned. As for the former player and now pundit on ESPN, I did watch the video and I think maybe you should take a note out of his co-host and the anchor on the show and what they looked at in the article and look beyond the quotes and look at this article in a bit more detail, the questions answered, the survey poll. But then again, a lot of pundit types in football don't really understand the agent's world and some are paid for ranting and pandering to a populist anti-agent diatribe.
It's always the case that agents are blamed for this and that. A lot of cast of aspersions on agents, but we know at the end of the day, agents are integral to deals. And very simply, the formula for most deals is club requirements, their budget, and their interest in players equals the agent's portfolio of players and negotiating skills equals the players seeking a move and wishing to sign that final offer that's been negotiated. And agents, as I said, are very integral. And in many instances, they're the ones navigating the process. Now, obviously, there's going to be some agents who may do the wrong thing and et cetera, have discussed all that. But agents are integral to the deal. And people, and that's what this podcast is about, understanding the business better, understanding the nuances and understanding how things work and how complex this business is. Because the complexity of this business is one thing that a lot of people overlook, the characteristics of this business.
Yeah, but one set of awards that players and media do take notice of at this time of year is the FIFA Best Awards, which probably have a better judging pool and set of criteria than the agent survey we've just mentioned. Now, I'm not expecting an invitation to this year's awards, and yours may well be stuck in the post, Peter. But I do know some preferred agents have been invited and many who have attended in the past. And it was confirmed this week by FIFA on their website that the awards this year are being held in London in January this time around. Although it does seem FIFA Pro may have jumped the gun and announced this a day earlier than even FIFA. There are, I believe, 11 awards, but there are no awards for agents, despite us allegedly being stakeholders in some form or another for FIFA. And agents don't participate in any of the judging for the awards, which again reflects back on the previous article. The closest thing to an official Agent of the Year award that currently exists is at the Globe Soccer Awards, which I think is run primarily by ECA, but the likes of FIFA, UEFA, and even EFA, the European Football Agents Association, I'm led to believe do have some input into the awards. But based on who decides the Globe Soccer Agent Award and how they decide is still open to debate. And it has been dominated by one agent in particular, over many years. However, I do accept that judging a player or a coach is arguably less nuanced than judging the performance of an agent. After all, how do you judge an agent and who actually judges them?
We need more awards for agents. It may be hard to quantify who does what, etc. But at the end of the day, FIFA Pro on one side of the player representation paradigm in their role, the other side is the agent's paradigm and our role. And I think you need to award agents, even nominally, for good work, good deals, and adding value to the market. So agent awards, I'm all in favor of that, Jonathan. Now, there is something else that's also quite relevant in terms of agent recognition. There was a recent article, well, a straw poll, if I can call it that, based on the most famous football agents. It was from this year, November 2023, by Gregor Kramps. We see a lot of media outlets publish about super agents, top 10 lists. We've seen that in magazines, we've seen that in newspapers. What Straw Paul tried to do is put some factors so people can vote who is the most famous football agent. Some of those factors were number and quality of clients, transfer deals, public visibility, negotiation skills, although I think that's a hard one. Not even sitting to see how people negotiate, so I don't know how that criteria came aboard. agents with a proven track record of success, which you could probably measure because you can see which agents do what deals and how many players they get into the big clubs. Now, I'll go very briefly into the rankings. First was Jordi Mendes, Mino Raiola, who've also raised previously in this episode, Jonathan Barnett from the Stella Group, or CA Stella, I should rephrase that, one of the leading management agencies. And there was a few others, very briefly, Pini Zahavi, Kia Cherupchian, both I would say more intermediary broker type agents, Federico Pastorello, a prominent Italian football agent, and then some agents that may be not known to the general fan base, Stefano Castagna at 7, Giuliano Bertolucci at 8, although Bertolucci is a Brazilian agent. And then we had a couple of German agents, Volker Struth, and finally Thomas Groth. They were the major top 10 ranked. Now, I would say that recently we've also seen brands of agencies take a lead role in what agencies are about. We've heard of Wasserman, CA Base, CA Stella, Rock Nation. We've seen those sort of brands. I will say this, out of that top 10 ranking, probably missing is Pere Guardiola and maybe even Frank Tromboli for CA Base because he's done a lot of great work recently.
I don't necessarily want awards for agents, Peter, for the reasons I've previously mentioned, but some recognition is nice. Even being seen as a stakeholder by the authorities would be good. And it's safe to say that neither you or I appear on any of these lists or nominated for any of the awards, and we more than likely never will, as with the vast majority of agents who do their work behind the scenes quite quietly and don't readily get acknowledged. So back to this poll. I have to say, Peter, and I apologise for this, I'm going to be honest, what a total and utter load of tosh. Absolute rubbish. A poll taken from a small, arguably unrepresentative, unidentifiable group. 217 votes when some football agents and agencies have more employees than that. What is the knowledge of those people polled in terms of their understanding of the agents and the industry? They may even be considering unlicensed agents and brokers in their deliberations. 5 out of the 10 agents mentioned are not on the FIFA agents register at the moment. 3 of those are somewhat obvious, as 2 are German and not listed due to the injunction, and 1 is sadly no longer with us. Of the other 2 not currently listed on the FIFA system, 1 pre-2015 operated as an unlicensed agent, and it is my understanding he's definitely more of a broker. I may be wrong. If I am, I apologise. Also, what must be considered is where are those surveyed from? Regionally, one agent may be more famous or infamous than others with a section of those surveyed. As I've said previously, the first thing is, how do you measure an agent's success? This is akin to the question of what makes an agent a super agent, to which my answer has typically been their bank balance. Forbes and others have tried to do this assessment of football agents and sport agents as a whole based on wealth and worth, but it seems they have focused more recently on US sports agents than those in other sports and around the world. And to an extent, a lot of the US agents outstrip even the football, soccer agents in terms of wealth. There was one article that did look at agents based on their net worth.
Yes, there was one article from Charlie Rhodes from Sportlens from last month, November 2023. The richest football agents according to the estimated net worth. Now, this article sort of outlined figures for certain agents, certain super agents, which was quite interesting because I find it very difficult. How do you ascertain those figures? Because there's a lot goes into being able to assess someone's net worth, and a lot of people are private about their net worth. But what it did raise was how some of the agents have done very well and built a very good business, and from that business have done a lot of lucrative deals. And that's part of the industry because it is a very hard industry, but it's an industry that's very rewarding. And I'm very supportive of people who, you know, entrepreneurial and really build a very good business.
Again, I don't know the scope of the research for this survey and what they took into consideration, especially given how widespread many of the big agents' business interests and investment portfolios are. But in brief, they have 3 of the biggest agents mentioned. Jonathan Barnett of CAA Stella at $150 million net worth. Now, I'm guessing it's US dollars and not Australian dollars. Jorge Mendes at $100 million and Volker Struth at $41.9 million. And as such, Forbes will probably be the most accurate source of such things, but even then it's questionable. And also, they do list their criteria for the rankings, which makes it, I wouldn't say more accurate, but more representative based on how they've measured these rankings. An interesting thing to note in the Forbes report and their list in 2022 is that they actually stated, in recognition of the particularly high degree of collaboration among agents at CAA, the group which now oversees Base and Stellar, its agents, including several who have previously appeared in the Forbes ranking, were excluded from this year's list. So the value, worth, wealth and power of agents has obviously changed with the various takeovers and mergers in the industry in recent times, most notably the vast growth of CAA.
Yes, and I mean, you mentioned three agents there, Volker Struth, Jorge Mendes and Jonathan Barnett, but you also got to look at the context of, you know, how they've built their net worth and their business. Volker Struth had pretty much a stranglehold on the Bundesliga agency market, which since I think 2007, so long period of time to build a very successful business. Jorge Mendes, arguably with Mina Raiola, rest his soul, probably the most renowned agent in the world and dealt with a lot of major deals, so more about making a lot of deals. And then you had Jonathan Barnett, who, when you look at it, his company also, Creative Artist Angel, came in and bought companies in the UK. He was part of that as well. So obviously that played a role. But also, Jonathan Barnett also had other successful athletes outside football that he managed for a long time. So we need to take into account all these separate factors that also apply in building a business. I would say, how do you value property, assets, share portfolios, cash reserves? However, as you said, Jonathan, Forbes do go in deep dive to try to get close to the mark.
Yeah, Forbes measures are more defined on things such as finance revenues and the commissions generated. But again, arguably, that is not a measure of the agent, the service they provide, their profile or their value. But then again, the title of such articles and lists do vary depending on the circumstances, the narrative and also the source. Is it the top agent? Is it the best agent? Is it the most powerful agent? Is it the wealthiest agent? Is it the most renowned agent? They all have different variations on what they do and how they operate. Personally, for me, a lot of agents will not be noticed for how good they are at their jobs or what they achieve for their clients. Some stay independent and small scale, meaning they won't get the notoriety or the fame, and they don't necessarily seek it, and they get on with their work quietly behind the scenes. For me, the most accurate measure of an agent is to go back to their clients and their players as clients 10, 15, or even 20 years after the player is retired and ask them who was their best agent.
I tend to agree with that, although I also think it's important season on season, the agent who's doing the deals and really enhancing players' careers. But I also agree with you, Jonathan, on that. I think, how does the agent influence the player post-career to form good habits, a good mindset, have aspirations in other endeavors, develop in business or education or investment after they're playing? So I think that is very important. And if you ask that question and those players have got good habits in those sort of areas, that's really part of what the agent's done a really good job with that player.
One thing I've always valued more than any award or article is a simple thank you from a client or someone close to the client, such as a parent in the case of a young player. As over the years, I've come to realise and accept how valuable those are for an agent because they are so rare. They really don't come along every day. But enough of the serious tone, and we'll finish on one more light-hearted story, Peter, on this topic. And this may be a sign of how sports agents are recognised and acknowledged as part of the industry in other sports, more so than football. So I will ask you this, Peter. How would you fancy being included into a sports hall of fame as an agent? Well, it can happen, apparently. And this was detailed by NBC in the States, and it involves an agent called Sean Stellato. And he's been inducted into the Italian-American Sports Hall of Fame. Sean, from my understanding, is an American football agent dealing in the NFL and other areas of US sports. So congratulations to Sean, and congratulations to those who have actually acknowledged him and the role he plays in the sports world. And maybe one day we will see a football agent's Hall of Fame at FIFA HQ. Then again, maybe one day someone will circumnavigate Mars on a skateboard.
Well, I had a look into Stellato, and I'm going to quote someone before we finish off here. Peter Skrager of the NFL Network's Good Morning Football program. I know we're going to NFL football, but still talking agents. I mean, sometimes it happens to go into another sport. He describes Stellato as the quintessential striver representing underdog players at the end of the NFL draft. He said, I love Sean. He's such a hustler. He's one of those dudes who will work harder than anybody to make sure that you know, as a football director, as a coach, his client's name. What a great observation. Now, as we've discussed, the agents need to have their own awards. We know that Italy recognizes their agents in their awards, and not just in the, I would say, the first division, but also second division and third division, who are the better agents in Serie A, Serie B, Serie C. We need to be proactive in this area as agents. Maybe, and I'm just being a bit cheeky here, Jonathan, there is room for the Agent Angle Agents Awards. Maybe it's time we take the initiative to form those awards.
So do you want to come first or second?
No. I just want to get the nominees in so we could get all these great agents, not just on the show, as we strive to do all the time, but also get recognition of the industry. But yes, it could be time for the Agent Angle taking that initiative and forming the real Football Agent Awards. Just a reminder, everyone, before we close, that the FIFA Football Working Agents Group is meeting, which is tomorrow on the 15th of December in Saudi Arabia, I think it's Jeddah, big agents meeting to discuss where the FIFA Football Agent regulations are at. So very important meeting. If any developments come out of it, we'll cover it in the podcast maybe sooner than later. Now, please leave a review on our podcast platforms or LinkedIn page. And please do not hesitate to share the podcast also with players, even sporting directors, clubs, as our topics are relevant to all in the football industry. Bye from me.
And on that note, I'm about to check for the impossible and see whether that FIFA Best Awards invitation has dropped through in the post. But until the next episode, folks, take care and we'll speak to you soon. Bye now.
The purpose of the Agents Angle podcast is to provide news, information and facilitate discussion on regulatory matters, policies, business trends and issues affecting football agents worldwide. The opinions and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should never be considered legal or professional advice. Furthermore, the views expressed by guests are their own and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Thank you for listening.